Jed, winter is coming.
Yes, it's very Games of Thronesy with the political climate the way that it is, but also with the climate.
The climate. We actually had winter weather, not winter weather, but it's the summer is definitely behind us here in the Pacific Northwest. We had our first full rainy day since June, and that's never a good sign, or is a good sign if you love the Pacific Northwest and all of its emerald wonder.
Well, also, if you don't like, you know, forests burning without end, rain is good,
that,
right?
That's kind of important. We've had a smoke-filled summer for sure, especially the last month and a half.
And it's not just the pot.
In this area, especially in Montana. Montana, I think, is being, burned from the earth and nobody knows about it.
Oh, is Montana burning?
But Montana's burning. It's something like a million acres. That's 1%.
I'm telling you, I'm all over the news putting stuff together for this show, and there is no mention that Montana is burning.
And folks that live in that area are saying, why is this not considered a natural disaster? We're seeing nothing but
well, I'm going to tell you right now why it's not considered a natural disaster. Because Donald Trump retweeted a GIF of him golfing and the golf ball hitting Hillary Clinton. That's why. That's a natural disaster.
I thought you were going to say it started a fire.
No, he's supporting violence against women.
Very presidential.
Look, obviously, it's a buffoon thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. But the outrage about it is so hysterical. Like, he retweeted a GIF. Yes, the president shouldn't retweet a GIF like that. I completely agree. It's totally stupid. It's totally unpresidential. At the same time, this is 2017. GIFs exist. Get over it. I didn't think that Barack Obama should be slow jamming the news on The Tonight Show. I thought that was unpresidential. This is more unpresidential than that.
Just a tad.
But it's still not that big a deal. It's not advocating anything. It's just a funny thing that a president shouldn't be retweeting.
So that's is that the extent of our political discussion?
That's not political. Today? That's pop culture, man.
Is it pop culture? Well, yeah, newsy.
I'm calling that pop
culture. Okay,
I said The Tonight Show, that is a late night variety show.
That's good.
Which, by the way, got no Emmy nominations. We'll get into that later on because I've got some conspiracy theories out the wazoo. Later on. Yeah. And, but ever since Jimmy Fallon touched Donald Trump's hair, he's been persona non grata.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that?
Because he normalized Trump.
And so the gods have worked behind the scenes to take Jimmy down?
I'm telling you.
And we'll talk about a little bit more of that
later. I'm telling you. It's not just a theory, man.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Hey, so who are you?
I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney. This is episode 39.
39.
One before 40 of Foul Territory, a baseball podcast about baseball and stuff. Recently, last week in particular, is more about stuff.
Yes, it was,
but,
wasn't it?
You know, that's okay.
You know what? Again, I'm going to have to blame sleep on that one because for some reason, I didn't get that much sleep that night. And anyway, and first of all, apologies to the listeners, but most of all, apologies to Robert Davi.
Yeah, I repeatedly referred to
this gentleman as Robert Scotchy, somehow combining Robert Davi and Greta Scotchy together. This was exhaustion at its peak. That's what I was looking
for. And I have to tell you, though, I when I listened to it, and as I was editing it, and when I edit it, I have a tendency to put it on high speed so it moves through quickly, and I just take out the glitches when I hear them at high speed.
Ooh, so inside baseball here.
Yeah, so I kind of heard that it was like, is that the right name? And I was like, yeah, I guess it's okay. And then afterwards, when I was done, and I had made notes about what I wanted to put in the post. And then I had to look up IMDb to look at the name, and I'm like, was that what he said? And I was too lazy to go back and check.
No, I definitely said Robert Scotchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not Robert Davi. Now, Robert Davi This, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to the last episode, this is a hilarious story of one common man, myself, interacting with a celebrity, the level of a Robert Davi. A celebrity, an actor so famous that I referred to him as Robert Scotchy multiple times and did not think twice about it. Look, I think he's a great actor. I think he does good stuff. He may even still be alive and still be working. I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
And it wasn't like you bumped into him. You talked with him.
Yeah, exactly. I talked to him. Because that's the thing in L.A., like, you know, when you run into a celebrity in L.A., like, you just talk to him. You know, right. Don't be weird, but just talk to him. They're just people.
Big fan. I'm a big fan.
Well, big fan, but I mean, it also helps if you actually are a big fan. And I'm not saying right. I'm a big Robert Davi fan. Clearly, if I'm referring to this gentleman as Robert Scotchy, I'm not that big a fan. But I had just seen Maniac Cop 2 starring Robert Davi as a good guy.
And his publicist or agent never called in and complained, so I think we dodged a bullet there.
I think we're all good. Greta Scotchy's people were on the phone post-haste. Like,
her name is Greta, not Robert. So apologies to Robert Davi,
yes,
his camp, Greta Scotchy, her camp, and maybe we'll, you know, do a mashup later on social media combining the two.
Which
would probably not look pretty.
It sounds like work.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you did as much research to find out what his name actually was.
I do a little bit. I have to double check things here and there. And occasionally butcher things and have to go back and edit them later because I realize, oh, that's not the right name.
Yeah, I was thinking we should have like a corrections and errors segment.
I think that would take too long.
Too long.
It'd be like,
okay. I remember, this is confession time, baseball confession. At one point during the show this season, I said that the Atlanta Braves didn't have any hitting prospects, and they just had a bunch of pitching prospects, that some of which looked like they were going to turn into good prospects. And I said out loud for everyone to hear they didn't have any hitting prospects, even though at the time they had, and I mentioned Ozzy Albies as sort of a throwaway, which is, but they still had Robert Acuna on their team, who mm-hmm. is some consider to be the top three prospect in baseball right now. And I knew that. Hell, I have him on my fantasy baseball team.
And you
I said this out loud, and I didn't correct it. I was just making a comment about the Braves, and I was wrong. And that's what I want to say here. This show, you know what the title of this show is? Jed was wrong. Now, fortunately, we're not going to get into every way that I've been wrong because we don't have the years to pull that off.
Well, one of the reviews on iTunes, and there are reviews on iTunes, and if you haven't reviewed
us... Oh, you mean people
can
do reviews on iTunes?
They can. So go ahead and give a listen, give a rating, give a review. But one
give
of
a
the
good rating, please.
But
please,
one of,
sir.
Can I have some more? One of the reviews said that they have a tendency to butcher names, which is... But it's still fun to listen to. So, yeah.
We do have a tendency to butcher names.
Charged with that.
But no, technically in the starting nine, we deliberately butcher names.
Butcher names, right. Right. I don't know how long ago that review is written, but we
also,
appreciate
it. Also, let's be very clear, being a butcher is a fine profession.
Right. No.
When did this become like a derogatory thing, by the way? Like, oh, he plumbers names. Oh, look at right. him. Look, he bricklayers names. Hey, the world needs plumbers, butchers, bricklayers. That's the truth.
He coifs names.
What?
He hairdresses names so poorly.
That's my favorite one.
Okay, let's get on to the baseball stuff here.
Wait, is there baseball stuff?
There is some baseball stuff.
All and right, let's do
I think
it.
We've spent... Yeah, I think Robert and Greta are fine now. I think they've been soothed. Let's get into headlines. What's going on in baseball?
Yeah, let's talk about some baseball, man.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, the first thing you have here is that the home run record for a season with still a week and a half to go was broken yesterday. And it
Alex
was
Gordon.
And it was broken by the worst hitter in baseball. How fitting.
That guy's contract, what a joke.
But he's technically rated by what the WRC, whatever. I don't,
yeah.
you're the
WRC
the
Plus,
guru.
Yeah.
Yeah, lowest in baseball.
He's of course he's the one that breaks the record. Like, it's right. perfect baseball that he's the one that breaks the record. Also, here's the thing. I love defense, and I think that teams should value defense, but I don't really think that teams should pay for defense, because Jason Hayward and Alex Gordon are telling you, hey, don't overpay for defense. Anyway. Yeah, no, it's an incredible thing. The we've been talking about this home run thing all year, and there's, what, 10 games left in the season?
Yeah, 12 games left, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know how many average per day. Do you know what it is?
I'm not sure.
Must be 20, right? Doesn't it feel like it'd be like 20 a day?
That seems high.
I don't know.
18.7 maybe?
Wait, are you telling me that 20 seems higher than 18.7? Actually, Judd, if you really coalesce you take the subjective into... All right. I don't even know. I just went into like a whole... Anyway.
Jerry Lewis again.
Yeah, it was like a Jerry Lewis scientist, and then I went into subjunctive, which I don't know. Like, I was like, I ordered my brain, pick big words.
But we've talked several times throughout the season about the whole idea of a juice ball, and that it's been proven that it is slightly juiced and obviously having an impact. And
more home runs than in the peak of the steroid era.
Is it really?
That's how many home runs.
Yeah. I guess it would be if it's broken the record.
Yeah. 2000 was the record.
Interesting.
Not 2000 home runs, but the year 2000. Yeah. Y2K.
Interesting. Yeah. And why is there no hubbub?
Well, I think there's been hubbub all year, so I think it's just been sort of like, spread out over the year. Like, everyone knows that all these home runs have been happening. It's not really a surprise.
Yeah, and one of the things about it, too, and the same thing that happened, 20 years ago, was the home run brought fans back to the game.
Wait, mean 18.7 years ago?
Right. But people love home runs. It's an exciting thing. Now absolutely. With the statistics of bat speed and launch angle and distance, everything is measured to the micrometer to figure out how great of a hitter. Things like even last night I saw that the hardest throw from the outfield occurred in the Brewers Pirates game last night of 104.7 miles an hour. And it's like we know everything.
It was Brett Phillips, right?
Yeah. We know everything about what's happening on the field with a baseball.
Yeah.
Spin rotations and...
Yeah, I mean, all these home runs are changing the game, right? They're changing... Mm-hmm. I mean, to take a side course here into, like, the fantasy baseball world. Into the fantasy realm!
Good day, sir!
like, all of a sudden, why does everything fantasy have an English accent? I don't understand why that is. It's like a little island.
And I feel like there should be a flute playing in the background.
You better mix that in the post. Here's the thing. In the fantasy world, now all of a sudden, stolen bases are more valuable than actual home runs, because not only are home runs going up, but stolen bases are going down because teams don't want the players getting caught stealing. Mm. Because then if someone hits a home run... Boom, you get two runs instead of the... Because that's where the game is shifting to. It's shifting right. to, get a couple guys on, hit a home run. Now, in fantasy terms, I have two teams that are the opposite of this. I have one, John, you are familiar with. It's in first place in our fantasy baseball league. And, like, I can't make a bad move in that league. No, if I pick someone up, they hit a couple of home runs. Yeah. They do a stolen base. Like, I've made so, like, and it's just fluky luck, right? It's like, hey, I pick up this good player. No, he's a great player now.
And I have the opposite luck.
And it happens. And I have that currently in my other league, my other money league. I've lost first place. I have picked up a string of pitchers that got shelled for, I don't know how many, it was just nonstop, like 7 earned runs, 8 earned runs, hitters that can't hit, home runs are all solo home runs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have that problem.
And it's just a fluky part of baseball, whatever, right? But there's a guy in my league who's in first place, and every player he picks up is gold. He picks up a player for one day, just like, hey, I got to fill this roster spot for one day. That player's going to hit a home run, guaranteed. Like, it's the flukiest thing. And it's like a league, and it's a league of leagues, right? It's like 5 or 6 leagues all tied together.
Oh, wow.
And the guy that's in my league is so far ahead of everyone in every league. Like, it's really quite an accomplishment. And hats off to him. He deserves first place. But this is the fluky thing about baseball. With all these home runs now, getting back to the home runs, you have Stanton with his 55. Aaron Judge seems to have made an adjustment, is now hitting home runs again. I think he's got 7 in his last.
I think he adjusted his 15. Launch angle again.
Yeah, I mean, he made it a nice tweak. Good for him. But you have Stanton, 55. He could get to 60.
Yeah, he slowed down a little bit. He had, what, like six games in a row without a home run? Yes. 2 weeks ago, we were 3 weeks ago, we were saying that, you know, 65-70 was possible. If he keeps this pace up, he won't even hit 57, but he's definitely slowed down.
I think he can get to 60. 60 would be a cool number to get to. I think 55 is awesome, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have I saw the Dodgers yesterday. Grandal hit his 20th home run, so they have 6 guys on their team with 20 home runs or more. And that's not even counting Curtis Granderson, who they traded for, who has 24. Technically, they have 7. That's a lot of guys with 20 home runs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's exciting baseball. I think you're going to see, I mean, it really is going to put value on the pitching in fantasy baseball and real baseball, too. It's just like, who can control the home runs? Who can keep the ball in the park?
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, the guy we make fun of the most for giving up stupid home runs, Max Scherzer, his home runs are down this year.
Yeah.
He just got his 250th strikeout.
Which puts him in rarefied air, I think, as four, far as the number of seasons.
Four seasons of 250,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's 1,000 if you add it up. Doesn't really.
Speaking of giving up home runs, Clayton Kershaw gave up the very first Grand Slam of his career.
Now, isn't there against the Phillies, against Aaron Althurr. Yeah, he just hung a slider right out over the middle of the plate, and Althurr jumped on it. I don't mean to make fun of Aaron Althurr, but it's just the name is Althurr. Hey, you know what? Sometimes things stay the same, and sometimes you can Althurr them.
Just on the spot like that, this guy's a genius.
Clayton Kershaw hadn't given up a Grand Slam, but then Aaron Althurr'd that. You guys.
But that is a pretty impressive stat to be this deep in your career. And
well, Jim, I think it was Jim Palmer's never done it.
Really?
I mean, his whole career without giving up. Yeah, I think someone said something like, oh, there goes his Jim Palmer.
Wow.
Yeah, he also pitched in a different era, so it's a little different. But, yeah, no, Kershaw, remember we were talking about Kershaw had a chance at the Cy Young. That's not going to do it.
No, that won't. That won't.
Couple
help.
Of mediocre starts against shitty teams. Pardon the language. That's not going to do it. It looks like I think Scherzer's closing in on it. He pitched one last night. He got the 250 strikeouts. He pitched beautifully. I think it's closing in on Scherzer. I think Kershaw had to do 3 very good starts, and he's done 2 good starts.
Well, since we're in the pitching mode, I'll go back to the one other thing in a minute. But Matt Harvey had another stellar outing against the Marlins.
Oh. Yeah, everybody's altering him.
Yes. I think the Dark Knight's best days are behind him.
Yeah, I'm no Mets fan or anything, but I just love that kind of pitcher, you know. And he was such a sensation. You know, it wasn't a highly touted prospect, but he was sort of like, oh, this guy. And he comes up, he's just blowing gas. And now it's gas all right, but it's gas under the fire. And it's so sad to watch. And maybe this is one of these guys who has to do like a switch to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he becomes like a lights out closer, like a Raisel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, they thought Iglesias was going to be a starter, but then, wow, look how great he is as a closer, and maybe he'll still be a starter. But I mean, Smoltz did that, right? He was starter, closer, starter.
Mm-hmm.
But until Harvey gets it figured out.
And it might be a matter of a change of location for him, too. It might be a good thing for him to get out of the media of New York City and maybe go play for the Padres or something.
Well, let's not be cruel.
I didn't say Cleveland.
We didn't say I don't want him to go to a minor league team.
So the other thing that we've talked about several weeks, that it looked like it was going to be a great race for the American League wild card, but it looks like that script has flipped to we're down to the wire now with the NL wild card.
Yeah,
and
the Brewers.
Yeah,
hanging in there.
The team we thought in the beginning of the season had a shot to be a solid team, consistent team, and they have been pretty darn consistent the whole year.
Yeah, despite injuries.
Yeah, they and losing, I've drawn a blank on the pitcher, Nelson, who was their, I guess, top pitcher. Davies is now taking on that role, not necessarily lights out, but I think he's won 17 games.
Yeah. But Chase Anderson, I think, is their current best pitcher, though he missed a bunch of time due to injury as well. But who they lost Jimmy Nelson, base running, right? And they lost another pitcher during a base running incident. Like they've been, I think they've lost like three or four pitchers due to like, guys, we need a designated hitter.
And maybe they need to spend a little bit of extra time in spring training on base running with pitchers.
Well, I think it was just one of those weird things where, like, you know, slide or a dot, you know, whatever, and it's just one of those weird baseball things. Like Bryce Harper going into first base and doing it. Like, there's, you can't teach him not to ever do that. Like, it's, you know, just exerting.
And shockingly, based on that, the way that he went down on that play, looked like he was done. He's almost to a point where he'll be back in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs need to have him. I don't want to see this Nationals team going in with that. I mean, it's not like it makes that big of a difference. It's still a very good Nationals team, but they got to have Harper. Yeah. I mean, that lineup, Turner, Harper, Murphy, Rendon, Zimmerman, like, come on. This is what we want to see. We want to see the best against the best. Mm-hmm. We want to see the Dodgers running out Granderson and Utley.
For old time's sake. Yeah,
but Dodgers, what are you doing?
They're keeping. That's where careers are maintained and sustained. You know, if you were a superstar, you know, 15 years ago, you have a shot to make the roster.
Well, you know, LA has always been favorable to older men, right? They get all the chicks. No one cares. You have a 55-year-old actor, and in the movie, he's married to a 28-year-old lady, and it's like, oh yeah, this makes total sense.
Well, it's the clubhouse character, right? They bring that veteran experience to the clubhouse.
Leave him in the clubhouse. Right. Don't put him out there on the field batting 200.
Well, Granderson has been awful.
Well, to be fair, not as awful the last couple games that they lost. Anyway, he got his batting average up above 200.
Yeah, and that's the other battle that's going on right now is for best record in baseball, which was, you know, presumed crowned by the Dodgers, a month ago, and now it's coming down to the Indians. Washington has an outside chance, but yeah, three.
I think the
race.
Indians get it.
Yeah,
I think that the Indians are just like everything's just clicking, and you know maybe you kind of don't want it to be clicking so well before the playoffs, but who cares? Like everything is just clicking.
Yeah, the key for them is to ride that wave through the playoffs, not just into the playoffs.
I agree.
Okay, so one other thing that was kind of surprising when I saw this last week was MLB released the schedules for 2018, and it looked like, I think the season starts in February this year, opening day. It's like, what's going on here? Why is it starting so soon?
No, March.
I know, I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but it's first time ever, right, that it's starting like the March 29th is opening day?
First of all, if you're going to exaggerate, you got to go all the way.
Okay.
You got to go full on out. We talked about this. We talked about this last week. You got to go full on out, right? Instead of full retard, full R word, full on out.
What should I have said?
I don't know, like December.
Teach me, school me. December.
You say games are starting in December.
I gotcha.
Because see, here's the thing: you confuse people when you say they started in February
because that's like, spring training.
Right, you mean spring training? Spring training games start in February? It's too close to the reality.
Gotcha. Thank you. See? Wait, I'm scribbling notes here. Hold on.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so normally we talk about pop culture. We talk about baseball. Let's talk a little bit about comedy writing, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, here
First
we go.
Of all, ground your joke in reality. Don't start in outer space if you want to end up in outer space, because if you start in outer space and then end up in outer space, no one cares. All right? But you ground it in reality. Right? You make people feel like they're hearing a normal thing, and then you do the turn. All right?
Got it.
And then you say, oh, and then you got to turn it. You can't just veer a little bit to the right. You got to turn
flip it,
man.
Completely.
You gotta got to flip it. Exactly. You got to make people like, oh, I wasn't even thinking that they'd go there. Like, oh, the games are starting earlier this year. Okay, we've grounded it in reality, right? Like, yeah, it's the earliest. Yeah, can you believe they're going to be starting on Christmas Day?
Right. Got it.
And like, oh, and then people at home right now are listening and laughing their butts off, John, mm-hmm. because they're like, they were thinking you were going to say like a little bit earlier than last year, like April 3rd or April 2nd even. But no, I said Christmas Day, and they can't, they're still laughing right now. This is why I'm filling the time here, because I know they're still laughing. And that's comedy.
And I was taking notes initially, and then I realized this is recorded. I'll just listen to it over and over until I got it.
Exactly. And each time you listen to it, you will laugh just as much. I promise you that. Otherwise, full refund.
Not full retard.
No, full on out.
Full on out. I'll go full on out on the next attempt at humor.
Anyway, yes. Okay, so they're starting the games on March 29th. It's the earliest they've ever started the season. This is part of the new collective bargaining agreement where there's a couple more days off during the season.
And that means that we have a better chance of snow, too.
It does mean a better chance of snow and rain, yes.
And rain
also,
and cold.
But
and,
actual snow, yes. Yeah.
Opening day baseball when it's 30 degrees out is not fun, except for the teams that have indoor stadiums.
Yeah, and you can't skew it, right? You can't say like, well, we'll just start them all in the southern states.
No, you can't do that. No.
Because then Cincinnati needs to have an opening day some year. What's going on?
Yeah, and then back in the day when they used to play day games, it wasn't as big of an issue. But now, you know, you have opening day, a team plays at, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon, and then the next day they have opening night and they play at 7:10 and it's freezing.
Right. And now, did I read correctly, John? Everyone starting on this day.
On the same day, yeah, every game.
Every and I do like that.
So do I. Because they've stretched it out. There was like, you know, three opening days. And
that's
baseball to me is when everybody starts at the same time. That's what I remember as a kid. Good times. Glad we're going back to that.
Yes.
And I'm glad that we're starting in December.
See? I'm laughing. That's funny.
Okay, let's see what else we got.
Of course, technically speaking, that actually wasn't funny for being
different reason.
A reversal, it was funny for being a callback.
Right.
That's a whole other segment on the writing that we're going to be doing
in future episodes.
In future episodes.
Okay, let's see. Blue Jays and Marcus Estrada agree to an extension. Hello.
What?
Are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
Did you say something?
I did.
I heard you say yesterday.
I said that the Marco Estrada extension, I hadn't heard about it. Did that happen yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I think it was today or yesterday. Yeah. Here's a weird thing in baseball. Marco Estrada, who's had like an okay year, right? Like a little up and down, right? He's been a solid pitcher. He signed a one-year extension for $13 million.
Okay. 1 year.
Shouldn't he go out on the free agent market and get like a 3 year deal? Like,
yeah, that doesn't. He must really love it there.
I feel like there's something going on there. I just feel like that's a weird amount to sign an extension for.
And is it because he didn't feel like he had a great enough year this year?
Yeah, well, they call it a pillow contract, right? Mm-hmm. But still, I feel like Marco Estrada could go out and get 3 years and $30 million. Like, pitching is garbage now. Why would you give up? I mean, I guess if you're getting 13 instead of 10, that's better, but per year. But then what if you get injured next year? Mm-hmm. Then you get nothing the next year.
Right. Well, that's the gamble. That's the roll of the dice, really, on both sides of the equation, overpaying and being underpaid.
Well, I feel like the Blue Jays here have win everything. That's a win-win for them. It might even be the proverbial win-win-win.
Yeah, but bringing back Bautista last year was not a win.
Yeah, but that was something they got sort of stuck with.
Right.
I mean, he's done. He's like baked goods.
Yeah.
Put a fork in him, all the metaphors.
4 or 5 year, $30 million a year contract.
Do you remember when he was throwing that around at the end of last season? Like, oh, boy.
Done.
Oh, boy.
He's going to be lucky to get a Chase Utley deal. Maybe he'll be playing for the Dodgers next year.
You know what, John?
What?
That was comedy.
I brought it back.
You brought it back.
What did you call that?
It's a callback.
Callback. Got it. Scribbling notes furiously. Callbacks.
Callbacks are old. Now, you don't want to over callback.
Yeah, I don't want to bring that up over and over again. Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to over callback because it becomes a little bit like, you ever see the movie The Hudsucker Proxy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coen Brothers film did not do well box office wise, but a delightful visual spectacle, yes. Right? And some very entertaining performances, though the overall film probably leaves something to be desired. Anyway, so there's a line where the lead character invents a hula hoop. And he's kind of adult, and when he's being interviewed about it, he's like, yeah, I didn't expect there to be this much hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporters are like, oh my God, yes! Can we quote you on that? Hoopla, that's amazing! And he just like accidentally had made this pun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then this is okay. Now this is the film remembrance section of the show. So then later on, when things start going bad for him and he's starting to lose a grip on his control of the company and his control of the media is asking questions and he goes, I didn't mean for there to be this much hoopla, forcing it out there, knowing it's a pun, knowing it all. That's a bad. And then the crowd is just like, completely unaffected by him saying that and is actually turned off by it. Like, it's not clever if you just spit it out like that, if you're forcing it out.
Yeah. Can't be a one-trick pony.
Exactly. So you have to, what you have to do is you have to just be mindful, you know, what you're doing with your audience and what experience they're having. But I think you're doing a fine job with the callbacks.
So there's a science to this. It's not just naturally funny.
I wouldn't say there's science. I would say that there are systems,
okay,
right, that work.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the reversal, you know, punch. Everyone knows what a punchline is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the surprise ending to the joke that makes everyone laugh. It's right. the punch line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's reversals, and then there's callbacks, and then there's escalating, and there's all that stuff. And it's all. I mean, there are certain. There are certain schools of comedy. You can't necessarily teach someone to be a funny person, but you can teach them.
Skill.
Exactly. You can teach them the skills. You know, you can't teach them to be clever, but you can teach them the skills to present clever material.
Got it.
But it doesn't necessarily make the material itself clever.
So following on the heels of that, we have the least funny announcement.
Oh, jeez.
Of the week, which was Orioles prospect Miguel Gonzalez dying in a car crash in the Dominican.
Now, this is the third car crash in the Dominican this year to kill a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I mean, I don't know much about the Dominican, I'm honest. The thing that I do know is that it's next to Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's where baseball players come from.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I know.
And apparently the roads are not.
Well, I'm starting to get that understanding.
Yeah. Not a good place to drive.
And I know a lot of these players, Dominican players, they put a lot of money back into the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if a player can fix roads. That feels like a government thing. It feels like if you gave the government money to fix roads, they probably wouldn't spend it on fixing roads.
Most of the time when this happens, it's happening to younger players.
Yeah.
You know, well, they're having fun. They're out with friends and. It's, you know, unfortunate, you know, I guess the only thing you can try to do in situations like that is lessons learned. You know, what can you take away from that? And there's no punchline really to this one by any means, but it's just, it's sad when this happens and we, I don't know.
Yeah. Especially someone in the Dominican, right? Like here's someone who
coming
most
up,
likely grew up in poverty,
mm-hmm.
most likely grew up in like basically the worse than any conditions that we really have here in the United States, right? And
they make the big time.
And they make it. And they start getting money. Now, maybe some of the money's stolen by family or stolen by quinceañera. Not quinceañera.
Roaming gangs of 15-year-old girls.
No. Sorry. Look, I speak a little Spanish, but for some reason... Anyway... My filing system isn't so good anymore. Whatever it is they call is it caballeros? Is that what it is?
I'm not sure.
They call these guys, anyway, I apologize to all our Dominican and Hispanic listeners. I give up. What's the next thing?
The next thing, this sounds like a marketing match made in heaven. MLB and Camping World announce a multi-year partnership. Because when I think of baseball, I definitely go to camping.
Well, if you think about it this way. Sorry. Imagine all the quinceañeras going on a camping trip. You go on a camping trip to celebrate your 15-year-old Hispanic niece's becoming a woman. And you're thinking about baseball. What better combination? Major League Baseball, Camping World, and quinceañeras. I don't know. I saw this thing. I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing. But I love these things that get up as press releases. Like, anyone cares about Camping World? And it's like, you read I think the reason I posted this was like, well, that's stupid. And then I read the press release and was like, you know, this is really stupid. Because it was like, well, baseball fans have an appreciation of the outdoors. Like, yeah, I don't think so. I think a stadium is outside.
Yeah, and that's where the games are played. So if they were played in all in indoor stadiums, then that's where people would go to watch the game.
Yeah, like it's not like people are there like, hey, you know what I like the most about this? Is I get to sleep on the ground tonight.
Right. It's not like the games are being played in the Grand Tetons. That would be cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be... Honestly, I like the thing they do where they just sort of like set up a field and play. Like, yeah. I think that's a cool thing. Didn't they do that a couple years back with, this is boring. Anyway, I like this. I like when they set up a sort of impromptu stadiums. I think that's a cool thing. Yeah. I don't think you can really do that these days. But you know what you could do that with? Is with retired players.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I would go see that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be very cool.
You know, pick up games.
You can't do it with active players because the active players are too... There's too much money involved, right? And the teams wouldn't do it because there's too much money involved in their...
Don't want
their
someone to get hurt.
Spring training games and their... though I do think that if... Well, they're planning on it anyway. I know Puerto Rico is currently being hit by our... What is it? Our third category.
Third major hurricane.
We went over this a couple weeks ago. This one is actually a category 5, John. You'd be happy to know.
Yes. Not a 4, not
hit
a 3.
Hit Puerto Rico dead on.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're playing a couple of games there next year, actual league games.
Maybe.
So, well, assuming assuming the rivers aren't running with water, the streets aren't running with water.
Someone mentioned, one of the weather forecasters or reporters mentioned, I think, I don't remember what network it was on, but he said that, you know, expect tomorrow to be one of the worst damage you'll ever see to a major metropolitan area. They said, don't expect
anything
but
the worst.
But then
what about Puerto Rico? Sorry.
Yeah, so we'll hope for the best, knowing that, you know, the worst is upon them as we speak, or yesterday or last week, depending on when you're listening to it. And, you know, unfortunately, this has turned into the weekly podcast about hurricanes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And devastation. So let's on a happier note, move on to the starting nine.
Oh, hey, that's always fun.
Yeah. So, in honor of the Emmys, this week's starting nine is Jed discovering nine players and giving them an association to the Emmys. And this week's association is players with award winner names.
Right. Now, first of all, I'm a little bit miffed by the Emmys. Generally speaking, I actually like awards. Mm-hmm. I know it's very uncouth to say, like, oh, I like award shows. Now, I don't like award shows. I like award systems. They're arbitrary, and they tend to not necessarily hold up over time. But, you know, sometimes it's just nice to be... Like, I especially like the Writers Guild Awards,
mm-hmm.
The Screen Actors Guild Awards. I think all actors are basically insufferable. I love them, but they're basically insufferable. But how cool is it for, like, all the actors to get together and say, this was the best acting performance?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
I would agree.
Now, what can happen sometimes with something like this is that instead of actually voting for who was the best or what was the best show, what was the best writing, what was the best experience, whatever, right? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Westworld didn't win nearly enough awards because it should have won all the awards. But it becomes a way to send a message. And I just, that's where you start getting into a thing where it's like, well, but why not just, it's just art.
Right.
And you shouldn't necessarily say one art is better than the other, but say this art was more moving to me. Not, well, I vote for this because I feel it's important for people to know that blank, right?
Right.
And so what we see this year in the Emmys, and no one really cares about this except for me. What we see here in the Emmys is like a lot of like, what's the most diverse person we can choose for the award? And I'm not saying none of these people deserve to win. Everyone deserves to win if they get nominated. But it sure looked like people were filling out a, like, let's try to be as diverse as possible. Yeah. Oh, also, The Handmaid's Tale is real.
Right. I watched The Handmaid's Tale, and my opinion of that, actually finished watching it two nights ago after the awards. My argument, not even an argument with my wife, who loved it, and I thought it was good, is like, it's nothing. It compares nothing to Westworld.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
You know, from.
But there's like this political thing that's been attached to it of like, no, Donald Trump and Mike Pence are going to enact the Handmaid's Tale law. And this is the country that we live in now.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I never went there with that. I mean, I really didn't spend a lot of time.
But that's
with
where
it.
Everyone's going with it. Like,
I just heard the buzz and I'm like, what's all the buzz about? And just based on some of the previews I saw, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look overly exciting. And
it's
I have
a well-made
to admit,
show.
The first have you seen the show?
Yeah.
I after the first four episodes, I was ready to turn it in. It wasn't until there was a twist that kind of brought it back outside of the experience of every episode being the exact same thing over and over and over again. I was like, okay, where are we going with this? And then the twist helped it. But I still think Westworld got robbed.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just think Westworld's the best television show that I've ever seen.
I would agree. And part of it, too, I think, is that there were a lot of people who watched it. Like, it was so confusing. I didn't understand it. It's like, it was intellectual. It engaged you at a level that I have never been engaged before, where I actually felt like I had to watch it closely. I had to watch it twice because I wanted to pick up all the little things.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I don't want that to win the People's Choice Awards.
No, no.
You know what? If we look in the United States, if we went around running things based on the popular vote, we'd be totally screwed. We have an electoral college process.
If only.
Sorry, Hillary. Too bad.
So let's bring it back to the starting nine.
So starting nine. Okay, good. So, but I warned you this was coming. I have a thing about this. Westworld should have won because Westworld, people in the entertainment industry should look at Westworld and say, this is the kind of stuff we need to be making always. It's powerful. It has messages of morality and stuff that people can use in their lives without necessarily being preachy. And it's brilliant. The production of it is absolutely brilliant. This is what needs to be celebrated in this industry and not, well, The Handmaid's Tale is real because Donald Trump. Like, there's no way Handmaid's Tale wins any awards if it's not for Donald Trump.
Like, I never even looked at it from that perspective.
I'm just saying, if you look on it, like, people are freaking out that Donald Trump is going to enact The Handmaid's Tale. Like, that's coming. And so... Because, of course, people are losing their minds. Did you see this Rob Reiner thing? Rob Reiner, one of the great writer-directors of our time. He started the committee to investigate Russia with Morgan Freeman.
I see something about Morgan Freeman, you know.
Like,
yeah.
Like, no, Rob, no. Let the government investigate that stuff. The government, people in the government who are on your side are already investigating
it. That work's being done.
Like, it's not like this is being swept under the rug.
No.
This is being thoroughly, thoroughly investigated by all branches of the government. Rob, make a film, man. Anyway, okay, good. So let's get on to the starting nine. Award for Best Actress in a Dramatic Series, Elizabeth Moss. Brandon Moss.
There we are. Or Lizzie Moss, as they were calling her all night long.
Oh, Lizzie?
Lizzie.
Speaking of Lizzie, how about Riz Ahmed?
Mm-hmm.
Ahmed Rosario.
There you go.
Right. Riz Ahmed won for last night or in the night.
Mm-hmm. Great speech, too.
I didn't see any of the show.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't watch?
Oh, no, I don't watch because it's too politicized. It's too heavy-handed. I just like to look to see who's nominated, and then I see who won the awards. That's what I do.
And then you have outrage.
No, I don't have out. Normally, I don't, but this is ridiculous. This year was absolutely ridiculous. Plus, I'm so pissed off about Westworld not winning all the awards. Anyway, Jeffrey Wright. Okay, look, I know other people. There are other good actors out there, but Jeffrey Wright was like, he's perfect mm-hmm. in this show. He's perfect. Anyway, whatever. Next person, Donald Glover, Coda Glover. Now, I love Donald Glover, and he got actually best director of a comedy series, too.
Yes.
Or, yeah, comedy series, and best actor. And I'm all for that. I like that show very much, Atlanta. A little under the radar, not a lot of people watching that one, but it's a good show, and he was very good in it. Next up, Alec Baldwin Encarnacion.
That's good. Those are always my favorite.
Alec Baldwin, who won, if you can believe this, ladies and gentlemen, a Best Supporting Actor award. That's how illegitimate these awards are. Alec Baldwin won a supporting actor award for doing an impression of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He won an award over actual actors. Anyway.
That's good comedy.
Though it is funny to make fun of Donald Trump. But it's a little one note.
Yeah.
You know, a little one note. Not necessarily best supporting actor. All right. Next up, Aziz Ansari, Cesar Hernandez.
Okay.
Nah, it didn't really work, did it? There's some similar sounds in there. There's a Z.
There's a lot of Z's. Lizzie and Aziz. And who was the other one?
Oh, I don't know.
The other
Riz.
One? Riz.
Riz.
Yeah.
Riz, Aziz.
Riz, Aziz.
See? Diverse. You know what I'm saying? Now,
there's a theme.
Listeners,
here.
You can rest assured Aziz Ansari did not win an acting award. Okay? It's not gone that far off the rails. So things haven't gone so far afield, but he did win a writing award.
Was he nominated for an acting award?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Like, that's when you know it's all gone to hell. Hey, look, Drew Barrymore won a Best Actor award at the Golden Globes. Anything can happen. All right, next up we have Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Good comedy.
Next up, who always deserves her award. She's amazing. Nicole Kidman, or as the English say, Aroldis Chapman.
That's good. Kid. Got it.
Also, she was very good on her show. That was another show that wasn't political, but it was sort of political because it was like three women in charge or four women in charge killing a man.
I haven't seen it.
It became very popular on the inside. Pretty Little Lies. No, I didn't give anything away.
No, but that was
like
highly
the opening scene.
Highly politicized during the awards that it received.
Yeah.
And, you know, not enough. One of the reasons that Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman made it was there's not enough roles in Hollywood for women, and they decided to take matters into their own hands. That was all part of their acceptance speech.
And you remember like a year ago, I don't know if you remember this, but like the culture had turned, you know, the in crowd had turned on Nicole Kidman. And like, oh, the plastic surgery. Oh, this. And oh, she can't. Why she's having married to someone. Blah, blah, blah. What's your problem? Everyone hated her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She does this role. Everyone loves her.
Mm-hmm. She's back in.
She's back in. She's in the in crowd. Okay, next up. Starling Marte K. Brown. For those who don't know, Sterling K. Brown won an award for This Is Us.
Which I haven't seen.
I have a few other words that you could put in place of us, but we'll just say full on out.
Shh.
And finally, in the award for making everyone cry by playing a not funny song on a funny show, Kate McKinnon, for her portrayal as Hillary Clinton playing Hallelujah to mark the national tragedy that beset us, the maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to this country, but you know, beyond the Civil War and slavery and the genocide of the Native Americans and even 9/11, was Hillary Clinton did not win the election. And to mark the occasion, SNL performers bravely came out and did comedy sketches. But they set that aside for a moment to have Kate McKinnon play Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Hillary Clinton. Hallelujah. And for Kate McKinnon, I have Brian McKinnon. Anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a little diatribe there on the end. It was a little impromptu diatribe. A little frustrated by the award show this year. For the Emmys.
Well, hopefully next award season will redeem. You know, we're only
Well, hopefully the Westworld will time itself out better, right? Maybe that's what it is. It's too far out of mind.
Well, Game of Thrones didn't qualify this year, so they were out completely. And that helped, I think, others as well.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. Maybe next year.
Okay, back to...
Once The Handmaid's Tale is for real in the real world, then people will change their minds about a work.
We probably have a better chance of the Man in High Tower, Man in the High Tower happening than we do The Handmaid's Tale. Okay, so let's move on to Are You Buying It? This week we're going to talk about Rookie of the Year candidates in both leagues.
You know what? I'm glad we took so long doing everything else, John, because this is the Cody Bellinger National League Award and the Aaron Judge, who I sometimes refer to as Mike Judge when I'm tired, but the Aaron Judge Award in the American League, and there's no question.
Yeah, it's pretty clear cut.
Now, I don't think I've ever seen this huge a separation between the leading... You know what would be interesting is which of those two...
Ooh, vote him up.
I'd probably see Judge, right?
When you think about it, though, you have two players who have in two huge media markets that have a tremendous amount of publicity and let's you know, be honest, pressure. It's really a lot of pressure when again they're both rookies, so they're not making the big bucks yet, but they're in the spotlight and they both have delivered beyond.
Well, also, Judge got an extra month, right? So that's going to win him the award over Bellinger, if there was a head-to-head.
Yeah,
you just got to give it to him
statistically.
But these two, like, this is such exceptional. I mean, I know the Dodgers had Corey Seager. Oh, so they'll have two in a row. Don't they have like sort of like a ton of rookies?
Yes,
of the year,
they do.
Now that I think
absolutely
about it? I remember they had one stretch where it was like four in a row. Yeah. It was like Piazza. It was a Karros, Piazza, something or other. Maybe Todd Hollinsworth. Remember that guy, Todd
Yeah, I do. He's the announcer, broadcaster for the Marlins now.
So runners-up, Manny Margot has been very solid. Over two wins above replacement. He was traded from the Red Sox to the Padres in the Craig Kimbrel deal. He's been very good. Ian Happ, also two wins above replacement in the for the Cubs. As only playing two-thirds of the season.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And then over in the American League, Red Sox, Benintendi, been about a three-win player so far. That's very good, but still just nowhere near Aaron Judge. And then exciting for the A's, Matt Chapman and Matt Olson.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Sluggers, a little heavy on the strikeouts, but on-base percentage and slugging, maybe they got something here.
That's you know, A's baseball there for you. Who are those players again? What's that guy's name?
And they'll become, got all the Mats, right? They got Matt Joyce, they got Matt Chapman, they got Matt Olson.
So they've got, you know, they're famous for developing players into superstars so that they could be signed long-term contracts with a bigger market teams.
Yes, that who will Matt Chapman be playing for in 2 years?
Right.
What team will he be leading the team in home runs in 2 years? That's a great question.
But I think Judge definitely, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago about, you know, is he, you know, is his the glamour worn off, the sheen worn off, and he revitalized and has gone on a little bit of a binge. I think he's had seven home runs in the last two, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's back in good standing.
Yeah, it's just, it's, I mean, he really would have had to have a slump that lasted the last two full months for Benintendi to even get close.
And you look at, I look at the difference between Bellinger and Judge. I expect Judge to be doing what he's doing. Bellinger does not look like, you know, a masher.
Right.
He's got a sweet swing.
Yeah, he looks like a gap hitter, right?
Yeah.
And he's a brilliant defensive player, too. So that's a nice thing for the Dodgers. Good, they can extra range to make up for Chase Utley there on the diamond.
Kurt and Chase show.
That's right.
Okay, moving on to extra innings.
Oh, right. Hey, we're done with baseball.
Yeah, we're done with baseball.
We're done with all that baseball talk, John.
We're into the final stretch. Extra innings, taking a look at what's going on outside of the world of baseball.
Yeah.
So I didn't read about this, but I heard some flack about Kevin Durant. What's going on with him in Twitter?
Okay, so he got busted, maybe, for using Twitter accounts to say complimentary things about himself to himself, and then going to the other account and then commenting to the person.
Wow.
So it looked like he was talking to a fan, but actually he was talking to himself. Now, the probability is that this is like someone in his entourage is doing this, right?
Okay, right.
But the way people are sort of obsessed with Twitter.
Yeah, it's now the voice of the nation.
Would you really put it past him to be like, because a couple other people have been busted for doing this, right? Like for, what was that? Who's that lunatic writer, the pedophile guy, allegedly? Kurt Eichenwald.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Eichenwald for Newsweek. He's been busted writing great reviews of his own books, tweeting to himself as the wrong, as this sort of thing where like he creates a separate account and then talks to himself. But the separate account is always like, wow, Kurt, you're such amazing. A great writer. You're so amazing. I wish I could be like you. And then he'll respond to him saying, hey, thanks. But he'll like forget to switch the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll just be in his own account, say, hey, Kurt, you're amazing. You're a great writer. We're like, Kurt, you can't say that about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I meant to do that with my other fake account. All right, Kurt. Kurt's got problems.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Durant needs to go, you know, full on out.
But like people are obsessed with social media and what people are saying and like what nobodies are saying, what people with a 20. I remember when I was writing for Yahoo, I used to get a lot of flack on Twitter. Like, who cares? Like, I still get reviews on my films, John. I got one guy who keeps posting the same review, the same negative one star review over and over again. Like, dude, get over it.
Right.
I used the R word in the film. Get over it. You can't just keep copying and pasting. Like, no one cares what you think.
Don't you have better things to do?
And exactly. And the thing is, they don't. But doesn't Kevin Durant have better things to do?
Yeah.
And the thing is, he doesn't. What's next?
Magic Johnson, what's going on with him? He's helping out Draymond Green?
No, okay. So Draymond Green is involved in a civil suit where he assaulted someone allegedly, right? And so, speaking of tweets, Magic Johnson tweeted something about it. And because he tweeted something about it, now the guy that's suing Draymond Green is subpoenaing Magic Johnson to give a deposition about what information he has about the assault.
And does he have any information? Was he present?
Probably not. It's Magic Johnson.
He just had a comment and now all of a sudden he's implicated? Or not?
I think he said something that was sort of supportive of Draymond, like, hey, you know, blah, 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 watching out for you. Something, I don't know, whatever, some BS, right? Like just some glib Twitter thing, right?
You just got to be careful what you say on Twitter.
Man, Twitter's the worst.
Yeah.
Twitter's the worst.
There's going to be a movie about Twitter.
If you need me, I'll be on Twitter at Jed Rigney. You have comments about the show, I'll be on Twitter at Jed Rigney.
Okay, moving on to St. Louis area youth football team. Apparently they're taking up the cause started by Colin Kaepernick, and the entire team is kneeling during the national anthem?
Yeah, so, okay, I want to be very clear. I don't care whether someone kneels during the national anthem. I wouldn't do that myself in any sort of protest. I'm a big fan of the United States of America, and I don't feel like that's the way to get across your message. But I love the thing about this country that you can do that. However, being a, and you'll have to pardon the language here, shitty parent and making your 8-year-old kid kneel during the national anthem is only grandstanding and only trying to get attention for yourself. It is one of the most disgusting things about this country, and it's been in full blossom since Trump's been elected. And all of a sudden, people are using their kids to send political messages because they know no one gives a poop about the adult saying it, so they get a kid to say it because that's going to go viral. And this country's addiction to social media virality and social media celebrity is, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, but it's gross. And something like this, to make a kid do that, to make a kid have to worry about something like that,
about that at all.
They're 8 years old. Yeah. They don't need to worry about that. They don't need to make this their cause. And you see this thing where kids are in support of the DACA, the DACA, which I think would be totally solved if you just change it to make America great again.
Speaking of political, Sean Spicer, guest appearance on the Emmys. That stirred up a little bit of a shitstorm.
Yeah, so he comes on the Emmys and makes a self-deprecating joke, and people are losing their minds over it. Some people have been like, you know, had photos taken with him, and he was very popular at the after parties. And many people have had to come out and denounce themselves for having normalized Sean Spicer. Like, as if this guy was like, well, he's also, you know, like as if he was the communications director for Hitler himself.
Right.
Normalized. He's just doing a job, and like, yeah, it's BS, but you know what? Obama's and Bush's, these people are all full of BS.
That's their job.
Like we're going to go back through and like list every lie that a press secretary ever told. Right. It's all lies. It's PR, public relations, translation, lies.
Right. Give the people
anyway, so it's been hilarious to see people.
Not give the people what they want. Give the people what you want them to hear. Yeah. Right. So,
yeah,
I had no issue with it. I actually thought it was funny. And I just was, you know, surprised by the backlash. You know, he's, you know, let Sean Spicer have his life back. You know, don't you know, leave him be.
Yeah, and the thing that annoyed me the most, by the way, was what's her name? I can't believe I can't remember her name. The girl who played Sean Spicer.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy was like the most offended of all people. Like, okay, hold on a second, Melissa. You have ridiculed this man more than anyone else in this country, and he's not allowed to have a little laugh at his own expense.
Yeah, and that's what I gave him props for that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I could see how people could get upset about it, but it's like, hey, this guy is, and he's not milking a moment by any means. You know, maybe there's a little bit of a celebrity that'll go with this for a short period of time, but I hope at some point he does come out and share his side of the story, you know, and what he did and why he did what he did. And he basically, all he has to say is, yeah, I was doing my job. I just did what I
was the press secretary for President Donald Trump.
Right.
If you don't like how I did my job, don't elect Donald Trump.
Right.
And if you don't want to elect Donald Trump, don't put up a terrible candidate up against him. Mm-hmm. Anyone else would have beaten this dude. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Who else is there?
Last but not least, we have Avril Lavigne rated as the most dangerous celebrity online. That mean was rated online as the most dangerous celebrity, or is she the most dangerous celebrity online?
Do you know about the mysteries, the magical mysteries of Avril Lavigne?
Mentioned it before. Right. There's a
conspiracy theory that she's not actually Avril Lavigne anymore, that she is a stand-in, that the real Avril Lavigne killed herself. And now the stand-in is being Avril Lavigne.
Okay.
She used to have a body double that she would send around town to distract the press. And now the body double is Avril Lavigne.
Hmm.
It's very Star Wars Episode One for those of you who lived through that traumatic experience. But now she's been rated the most dangerous celebrity online, meaning if you Google search her name, if you go to a site that comes up in the search results, she is the there are more sites connected with her that will get put malware on your computer.
Wow.
That will it will infect you and mess you up. It is the that's why she's the most dangerous celebrity online. I mean, there's more sites, and not her herself, but in her name, mm-hmm. there's more sites.
Right. She's associated
also to, because her music's so bad.
And I saw a photo of I'm drawing a blank on her name now. The lead woman in Westworld,
Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes, Evan Rachel Wood. That the two Evan Rachel Wood with Avril Lavigne, they looked like twin sisters.
So wait a minute. What conspiracy theory do you have that Avril Lavigne is a robot from Westworld?
Could be.
We figured it out, John.
Let's start that rumor.
It's not a rumor.
Maybe that's part of the next season. All I know is that the trailer shows a dead tiger at the river. What does that mean?
Hey, spoiler alert, man.
What does it mean, Jed? It means that's the end of this week's show.
Speaking of dead tigers by the river, good night.